Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, little horseflies, let's take a little trip through the league. All kinds of things happening. Plus, this means we don't have to talk Steelers for a couple of minutes because we're going to get back to that and the debacle that was the loss in Cincinnati. Really on the heels of the loss to the Chargers, on the heels of a tie with the Detroit Lions, for God's sakes. The Lions, let's start with that. Let's go all the way back to Thanksgiving. They lose at home to Matt Nagy and the Bears. How do you do that? Well, I guess you're the Lions. Dan Campbell called plays in this one too, didn't he? Are they going to win, or are they going to go 0-16-1? Here are the remaining games. Vikings at home, at Denver, Arizona, at Atlanta, at Seattle, and home against Green Bay. Ron, are they going to win a game? Bob?
They're not going to lose every one because they've already got a tie, but they will win a game.
It will be against the Atlanta Falcons.
Really?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to say they go 0-16-1.
I'm going to say they're going to beat Denver.
Ooh, that horse that horse is going to use as the...
Horse doesn't like that. He's very angry. Ron's been cut off for the rest of the show, Horse said. All right, let's go to Raiders beating the Cowboys. Are the Cowboys starting to get exposed a little bit, Bob?
You know, the winnable games they're losing. No, I still think, I believe in their offense. They had some COVID issues in that game. Give the Raiders a lot of credit for coming back and winning that game. But I think the Cowboys are still going to be in the playoffs and a force in the playoffs once they get there because of their offense.
Ron?
They're having major COVID problems now. I thought I saw 8 cases, including Mike McCarthy, who's going to miss Thursday night's game. I believe they play the Saints. So they do have issues. I think they're pretty good. Prescott's good. I think they'll be in the playoffs, but I don't look at them as I don't look at them the way I look at Green Bay or Arizona.
Me neither. I think they may turn out to be a typical Cowboys team, and then the Raiders hanging on. And then we have Bills, Saints. What's the bigger story there, Bob? The Bills rebounding or the Saints kind of looking, in to my way of thinking, like they're in a Steelers predicament right now. Right. Really good team for a long time, and I think finally they've hit on some hard times.
They've had some injuries. They don't have a quarterback they can rely on, and Buffalo took full advantage of that, and they needed to. So it was an important game for the Bills. But I think the Saints, at the beginning of the season were showing that they were going to be a contender, but it was a fake contender status. I don't think they're very good. So, yeah, good to win for Buffalo. They had to get it, Ron.
I'm not writing off Buffalo just yet. I still think that with Josh Allen, they're going to be capable, of making some noise. I think they make the playoffs.
All right. Next game is Tampa Bay in a shootout with the Colts. I mean, I was watching some of this game yesterday, switching back and forth with Red Zone, and I don't think this reflects that poorly on the Colts, to be honest with you. I still think they're a very legitimate contender in the AFC and could give a lot of teams some problems, but Tampa Bay is just very good. Bob?
I thought that was a great game to watch. Very entertaining. 69 points combined, 38-31. Again, ground game. Tom Brady utilizes it well, and Leonard Fournette had 4 touchdowns in that game, and he's been really good in the run game. Ron Jones is back there as well. Jonathan Taylor was okay. Not what I don't know how much you expect him week to week, but I think the Colts are still going to be a team and contending team and a playoff team in the AFC, Ron.
You know, I'm a big Bruce Arians fan, but to me, there's something missing with that Tampa team. I'm just not impressed. You know, we'll see. They managed to pull that out yesterday. I don't look at them as good as Green Bay or Arizona either.
Wow. What don't you like about Tampa?
There's just something about them, Joe. I don't know what I can't put my finger on it. I mean, I know it's stupid to ever, you know, to go against Brady, but there's just something about them that I don't like, and I'm not quite sure what it is.
One other story stands out to me about this game and about Tampa in general and other teams, but they're a good example from yesterday, and it's what bothers me about Mike Tomlin and some of the things he's said and done lately. When they got rid of Ingram, this idea that, oh, free agents are a risk. Now you see why we like to grow our own. What? Their quarterback is Tom Brady. I don't need to say any more than that. Their running back is Leonard Fournette, 17 carries, 100 yards, 3 touchdowns. He looked like what he was.
4 touchdowns.
4. He caught one, too. The number one pick in the draft. Right. He looks just completely rejuvenated. He's on another one-year deal for $4 million. Their leading receiver was Gronk, 7 catches, 123 yards. I mean, come on. What do you mean? Free agents out there win you Super Bowls.
Yeah, you got to pick the right one, and you got to be willing to spend the money on the right one. It can't just be, you know, what fits under your cap and you'll take whatever scrapes and, you know, are left. But, you know, if you're not going to if you're going to have draft issues and development of players,
exactly.
You need to supplant.
Go get Leonard Fournette maybe
right.
For $4 million and then you can draft elsewhere. Take care of other needs. Ron?
Excuse me, I coughed there. I don't think it's a matter of being afraid to spend money for the Steelers. I just think they've made some bad decisions on some of the people that they brought in and drafted, unfortunately. Yeah, you get to write free agent, you know, and over the years they've gone out and got guys like Ferrier, and I think that have really helped them, but not as good lately, the track record.
Yeah, it was just what bothered me was Tomlin seemed to be indicating, see, this is what can happen when you bring in a free agent. That's why we like to grow our own. And the other team has Carson Wentz. Now, he wasn't a free. Did they trade for him? Was that a trade?
I think that was a trade, yes.
And he's working out pretty well
Frank
for them
Wright
so far.
Really had success with him in Philly. He wanted him pretty badly. So.
Yes. I think that's worked out pretty well. And I still, that was just a great game in the end. All right. Next game, and I think they are a legit threat, certainly to make the playoffs at least, and they're playing much better. And we have the Dolphins making a little noise here with Tua. He had a really good game, 27 for 31. How about that, Bob?
That was his best game as a pro, I think. Really good. And Cam Newton was awful.
And is Matt Rhule going to be another college quarterback failed in the pros?
I mean,
College coach.
What did I say? Quarterback?
Quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, he benched Cam Newton yesterday, didn't he?
He did. After Newton went 5 for 21. 5 for 21. Come
and
on.
2 interceptions.
Again, this is not that complicated of a game. We saw him in New England last year. He can't throw anymore. He was 5 for 21.
Well, this is what happens when you go out and you make a deal and you bring in Sam Darnold and you think he's going to be – you know, and they miscalculated that. That was a bad assessment by Carolina because he's been bad, and now he's injured.
How about this one, Ron? The New England Patriots, 36, and the Titans, 13. They absolutely handed it to Mike Vrabel, and they're just playing great.
You didn't ask me how we did on our picks over the weekend. You know, we between Thanksgiving and the college games, we split. We had 5 different. We were 2-2 after before the New England game yesterday. You beat me there. I had Tennessee. You had New England. So you picked up a game on me. I gotta give it to you. I mean, I can't believe that New England is this good. I just can't. I didn't see it coming.
I just noticed the rushing numbers. Tennessee had 200-yard rushers, but one of those was a fluky 68-yarder. What about Tennessee and Tannehill, Ron? I've maintained all along, even when Tennessee was good, that you ain't winning with Ryan Tannehill. That's my contention. Do you agree?
You know what? I mean, I think he's better than average quarterback. I think you can win with him, but you need Derrick Henry, obviously, and they don't have him.
You could win with him if Henry's in there because everything flows through Derrick Henry.
They did rush for 270 yards yesterday.
I understand that. And, again, they're trying to remain true to their identity. But the same thing is, it's not just when Derrick Henry runs. It's where he moves on the field. Things flow to him, which creates opportunity in the pass game. So Ryan Tannehill is serviceable. Is he elite? No. Is he capable? Yes.
Some absolutely horrific games yesterday. Giants, Eagles, Jags, Falcons, Texans, Jets. We'll never mention that again. We've already talked about Broncos, Chargers. What's the bigger story here? Packers winning again, going to 9-3. Aaron Rodgers playing really well. Or the star-studded Rams going the way of LeBron's Miami Heat that first year when they failed miserably. What's the bigger story here for you, Ron, the Packers or the Rams? For me, it's the Rams.
Well, I mean, obviously, I think the Packers might be the best team in football. I see Rodgers may have to have surgery on this toe, but they said it won't be. He won't have to miss any time if he does. But it makes you wonder, you know, about the boy genius coach with the Rams. His star has really fallen, hasn't it? And, I mean, I think everybody was ready to give them the division title after they traded for Stafford. I mean, they bring in Odell Beckham Jr. You know, they got big-name players. The coach's stock has really fallen for me.
Yeah, and it's funny how this works, but they will go 8 straight years without having a number one pick in the NFL draft.
Wow.
But they're doing it a different way. They're going out and just bringing in people, as many as they can find, star-studded. And I happen to agree that it looks good, it can be enticing, but it will fail in the end. The Rams will not go far in the playoffs.
I agree. I think they fell in love. McVay fell in love with this idea of I can finally open up the game the way I've wanted to. And you've talked all day today about running the ball. Mm-hmm. They've completely gotten away with that.
Totally.
And now they have bad Matt Stafford. He's thrown a pick six, I think, in 3 straight games. He's setting records.
Look at their run totals. You'll see that there's no threat there. And when that happens, now you're going to put a lot of different people in position to make plays down the field. And if that doesn't happen, turnovers occur.
Aaron Donald not having the type of year that we're used to seeing from him either. He has 1 forced fumble all year. He has 6 sacks through 11 games after years of 20.5, 13.5. Now, that could change in a hurry. But watching that game and watching some Rams games this year, he doesn't look quite the same as he has Von Miller. And he hit 30, by the way, Aaron mm-hmm. Donald. Von Miller definitely doesn't look the same. I wonder if that whole
Jalen
thing's going to go up in flames.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's – and again, you're bringing a lot of ego there too. You know, guys who've had issues. And if things go really bad, don't be surprised if that kind of pops up over there.
I won't. Odell Beckham had his first touchdown in Rams uniform, but it was sort of meaningless by the end. All right, the game last night, I called this one of the most exciting 4 interception performances I've ever seen. Lamar was horrible, and he was great. I mean, it was wild. The Browns have fallen to pieces. Baker Mayfield can barely move anymore. What's the bigger story here for you, Ron? The Ravens or the Browns?
Oh, you know, to me, the Browns just in total disarray. We mentioned earlier now Kareem Hunt's dad came out and ripped Baker Mayfield today. I mean, it just seems to be a disaster up there. I like Stefanski. I think he's a good coach, but he's really been challenged with what's going on. Baltimore, it's just more of the same. They find ways to win. I don't know. They've either been the luckiest team in the league or they've been the most resilient. But somehow, some way, they keep finding ways to win, Bob.
They do. But Cleveland right now is just a mess just because of a lot of different issues there. And they're going to have to deal with that moving forward here. And I don't know how you effectively get back on track with what they're trying to do offensively. But, Joe, you said exciting game. That was one of the most boring games. I saw a span there where there were, turnover, 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 like 4 turnovers in a span of 4 possessions
combined.
Oh, no, combined.
But that made it entertaining. I said Lamar was at once wildly entertaining and horrible.
Yeah, I mean, 4 interceptions, you should never win a game. 2 are really hideous interceptions. But Cleveland couldn't take advantage of any of it.
No.
They were shutting
out.
Neither
could Baltimore. They got 3 points off those four turnovers, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the problem.
And Baltimore didn't get many more off theirs.
No.
Except they have a great kicker.
It was an ugly AFC North game.
They have a great kicker, and the Cleveland kicker missed. Kevin Stefanski carries the image, sort of seems like a very calm, cool, collected CEO. But there were a couple of shots last night where for the first time I saw it getting to him. One where he had a choice couple of words to say, and then he's supposed to be an offensive guru. And yet, you look back at his Minnesota days, Stephon Diggs wanted out, didn't like their downfield passing game. And now I look, aside from the explosion in Cincinnati, which was largely defense-oriented, listen to some of their totals. 17 points against Denver, 14 against Arizona, 10 against the Steelers, 7 against New England, 13 against Detroit, and 10 against Baltimore. Their offense stinks.
It does. It really stinks. It's mostly the passing offense. It's just not clicking in any level. So.
Well, I mean, Mayfield, I think, is really compromised with his health. But, I mean, if he can't get it done, their offense is going to stink. But stink is a good word. That's what it does right now.
And then you look at some of their rushing totals. Hunt led them last night with 20. There's been others where Chubb had 61, 66. I think that offensive line might be a tad bit overrated. They've had some injuries. Whatever it is, they're Kevin Stefanski. His offense is really, really bad. And they have the Ravens coming up, which is basically a season saver for them, right?
Well, has any – they're off this week. They haven't had a bye week yet. Has any team ever needed a bye week more than them? It's coming at the perfect time. That's why they play the Ravens back-to-back games, right? Because they have the bye in between.
Ron, yes. I'm glad you mentioned that because Peter King had a note in his column today that the last three Super Bowl champions, help me out here, Patriots and then who?
Chiefs
and Tampa Bay all had a bye week that was like week 12, 13, late
it
in
helped.
The year.
Yeah, it definitely helps.
Patriots, one of the teams getting those late bye weeks this year. So 3 years in a row, a late bye week helped a team sort of catapult itself. I don't know. How do they choose those bye weeks? Like that's a huge advantage to be able to collect yourself in week 13 when somebody else has it in week 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. And when it's early, it really is difficult. You get a flow going, especially if you start fast. And I've seen that before where teams do really well and all of a sudden they got to stop. And then they come back and they may have some issues. Later in the year, it's always good just for physicality, just to rest, get your head away from it, knowing you're going down the stretch. And now with one extra game, especially, Ron, it makes it even more advantageous, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I buy that argument, though, that there never really is a bad week for a bye. I mean, the Steelers had one. They had guys hurt, Watt and Highsmith. And you'd love to get to this point, but maybe have the Browns lost a game or two because they didn't have a bye week and didn't have guys have a chance to get healthy.
Yeah, no, I wasn't really talking about the Browns so much because that topic made me think of the Patriots and how what a beautiful time. And here it is. In 2018, Patriots had a week 11 bye, won the Super Bowl. They had a chance to revamp their entire offense that year and go to a running offense. 2019, Kansas City, a week 12 bye, won the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay, similar story to New England. They had a chance to reassess themselves in week 13 last year and revamp their offense, as King puts it. Then they come back and win the Super Bowl. I just think it's such an advantage to be able to have that pretty much right before the playoffs. I think we always talk about who's going to get hot down the stretch. I just think that's a huge advantage, and I think New England has it this year.
Yeah, and it still comes down to those two head-to-head games with Buffalo as far as their division is concerned. But, yeah, having a week off in the mix would certainly help. I would love it later. I always would love it later. I don't care what the situation. And, yeah, you don't control it. It would be an interesting thing to find out how they do determine when these bye weeks occur. I don't know if it's an even system where, you know, just a rotation, Ron. But it's very weird.
I don't know.
How they come up with these dates.
You know, obviously the scheduling, all the computer probably spews that out. My only point is, though, would the Browns be in better shape if they'd had a bye week 3 or 4 weeks ago as opposed to getting it now? So I don't know. I mean, I see now, you know, if New England's off this week or Tampa's off, I can see why it would help them now. But I'm just wondering if there's certain teams a bye week earlier might benefit them.
Coming up, let's talk about the Steelers. Their bye week is over and done with, and now they have the toughest schedule in the league down the stretch. You watched them yesterday. You're a Steelers fan, I'm assuming. How did it hit you? We had a caller early in the show saying it was almost relief. Like, all right, now I know the Bengals are better than the Steelers. I know what we're dealing with. Hopefully they know what they're dealing with. It was actually a relief to finally see it that graphically displayed. I'm sure others, the emotion is pure anger. I'm sure for others, they'd like to see major changes. Let's talk about that.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
First, the big news. Robert Murray, baseball writer, according to sources, free agent pitcher Jared Eichhoff, in agreement with the Pirates, pending physical. Bob, the landscape of the National League has changed forevermore.
Jared Eichhoff?
Jared Eichhoff. Ron, hey, I know he's one of your favorites.
He's no Dan Archibong, I know that.
No, he's not. I hope he wears number 61, though, just like our friend Tiny Archibong. All right, 1 year ago, barely 1 year ago, November 15th of last season, Joe Burrow and the Bengals came to Heinz Field, and they beat the living you-know-what out of him. They sacked him four times. Ben was 27 of 48 for four touchdowns and no picks. The Steelers killed the Bengals 36 to 10. I'm sorry. And now, one calendar year later, we see Joe Burrow saying, "We have higher aspirations than beating the Steelers."
It was a quarter of the day, I thought.
We have higher aspirations than beating the Steelers. I don't blame him for the quote one bit. It's true how things have changed in 1 year. The state of the Steelers leads us to Mike Tomlin talk. I wrote about it today. Not that I think he should be summarily fired. That wasn't the intent of the column. The intent was, how much worse does this have to get than three playoff wins in 10 years, one against Matt Moore, one against A.J. McCarron, possibility of no playoffs three out of 4 years, the possibility very strong of no playoff wins for 5 years for the first time since Bill Austin and then Chuck Knoll took over for the Steelers all those years ago. And all the embarrassments of late, I don't have to recount them, from three straight losses to the Bengals to a million yards rushing given up to 533 yards to the Chargers to a tie with the Lions. Like, where would this have to get to before we're in here actually believing there might be a coaching change, at least feeling licensed to have the conversation of, do the Steelers need a new head coach, Bob?
Well, again, I think if this turns out to be another total collapse, and I would include 5 years with the Jacksonville playoff loss, so that would be 5 years in a row for me, I think you have to assess everything in the organization. And you have to, and I think most likely Mike Tomlin signed his extension. I think they truly believe he's still the right man for the job internally. But I do think you'd see radical changes. I think both coordinators could go. I think you would see, a change at the end of Ben Roethlisberger's career, because I believe this will probably be it, and they're going to have to figure out what to do. That's the most important decision they're going to have to make. As far as Mike Tomlin, I think, you can have that conversation. A lot of organizations go 2 years and they make it. A lot of organizations do it less than that. But they want to avoid that revolving door, Ron. I don't think that's a good thing to start. But at the same time, I think change has to happen. When you go, if it turns out to be a fifth straight collapse, I think you have to consider all options on a coaching staff for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, we certainly have the license to speculate about that and talk about it. And I mean, Joe's column today is excellent. I would urge anyone out there to read it. He lays it all out for you. But I know how the Steelers operate. I don't think they're talking about that today, or, you know, we can argue maybe they should be. I think he's back next year. And I think if next year goes south, then we might see a change. But I don't think it's going to happen now or even after this season, no matter how it ends. But we certainly can talk about it, Joe. And again, everyone, please read his column at postgazette.com.
Very good column,
terrific.
Yes.
Terrific.
Thank you, guys. I think maybe the better question is when will the Steelers seriously start talking about it? And, Ron, I don't know that it would be if things went south next year. In fact, I think in the back of their minds, they may expect things to go south last year. I went back and read Jerry Dulac's very good piece on why the Steelers signed Mike Tomlin to his longest extension since his first one, a three-year extension. And he wrote that it was just that, to preside over major changes, new quarterback being the number one thing in the franchise. Almost like if there is a rebuild or a mini rebuild to be had, they want Tomlin at the head of it. So I think even if next year goes completely south and the year after that, honestly, I think he's the coach here for as long as he wants to be here. That's what I think.
Yeah, but you also have to acknowledge that he's part of the decision-making process that's led them to this point.
I do acknowledge that. That's why I think the conversation should be taking place in their headquarters. I just don't think it will be. Do you?
Well, I don't either. I mean, and I said if they go south next year, you may be right. It may be. You know, depending on what the team looks like, who the quarterback is next year, they may not be talking about that. They believe in stability. But again, this is the first real test for Art II. You know, we know how his dad handled things. Is he going to handle it the same way? We'll find out.
If this is stability, Ron, I'd rather have chaos, honestly. If stability simply means never winning a playoff game anymore, then I don't want stability.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their last 17 games, I guess it is 17, 6-10-1 since their 11-0 start last year. So that's who they have morphed into, and that's what they are. And they obviously don't want to be there, and they want – but again, we'll see. Ron said earlier, and I tend to agree with this, this league has been so wild that I wouldn't be surprised somehow if they concoct a way of winning a game next week against Baltimore.
But that's not really the point.
It's not the point.
I say that respectfully. They, of course they could beat Baltimore.
I understand that.
They could make the playoffs at 8-1 or whatever.
Right.
But my point is – so what if they lose in the first round of the playoffs? You know, there's still going to be major transition here. And it's really, I'm looking at the bigger picture right now, where this franchise has been trending. And frankly, the biggest trend that we've seen with the Steelers over the last 3-4 years is utter collapses late in the season, mm-hmm. they may not even get to that this point because they're collapsing right now.
Yeah, and they're going to need major changes in a lot of different things to happen. And again, I think it starts with coaching staff changes. That typically is where you see teams that believe in their head coach. They will come down with edicts potentially and say, well, we got to make changes. We have to have a different identity of what we're doing here with this offense and with this defense. And that could be where it starts. But, you know, I'm still one of these people who look at the, you know, there's still a lot of football left. Things can change. Will they? Probably not. But if they do, we'll see. But I don't think you're going to see a head coaching change, nor at this point should you, probably.
Is Tomlin the coach as long as he wants to be the coach?
I'm not going to go that far. I don't think
I will say no to that as well.
Yeah, I don't think that should be the case for anyone. I think you have to be judged based on what the results have been. They are a
results-oriented
business.
Now, that might be one more year. That might be two more years. That might be three or more years. But I don't think I would. He has a lifetime contract.
No, and I don't think they like to throw money away just after they sign somebody. They're going to make, you know, but there will be changes. There have to be changes. You can't bring everything back the same way. And they tried to do that this year, and look what happened.
See, I think he does. And I think he's, I think giving him a 3-year extension, an unusually long 3-year extension after three straight collapses, was a statement that he's, I think he's here for as long as he wants to be here. I think we could be looking at 10 years without a playoff win and would still be here.
I don't think it'll get that. If that happens, they'd
have to make
changes.
If he sees out his extension, it could be 8 years without one.
Well, they, you know, they've done some unusual things lately, and buying out a contract wouldn't be at the top of that list. Them trading a number one pick, we never thought we'd see that. They did it.
So just let me backtrack. Both of you feel like we're still multiple years away from even having a serious conversation about whether they'd move on from Mike Tomlin, correct?
We have it or they have it, Joe.
Before they have it. I mean, we can have the conversation, but it's only a serious conversation if they're thinking it over there. So that's what I mean by that.
I don't think they are thinking it over there. And again, they gave. I go back to when Cowher missed the playoffs the 3 years in a row, and they gave him a big extension. And it turned out pretty well for them. He hadn't won a Super Bowl at that point. I know it's been ancient history since Tomlin has won one and gone to one. But this isn't the first time they've given this type of extension out to show that they believe in their head coach.
No, I know.
I don't think they're going to change anytime soon. But I don't think it's a lifetime deal, if that makes any sense.
No, but if we think it's 3, 4, 5 years before they would even think about it, then that brings Tomlin to, what, 20 years on the job? 10 years without...
See, I don't think it's necessarily going to be 3, 4, or 5 years. I just don't know that it'll be until at least after next year, maybe.
Bob?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I do. But I think, again, there will be change on the coaching staff, and quite frankly should be if this continues and they miss the playoffs, let's say. They have to do that. They have to come up with different approaches, and that includes schematically, offensively, and defensively if it's not working. Yeah, there have been injuries, but you know they need to figure out ways to get results.
More painful right now, watching a defense that's the worst run defense maybe in Steeler history, the numbers say that, or watching an offense, maybe the last one in the league, that never uses the middle of the field. I don't know which was more painful yesterday. Which was it for you, Ron?
Well, watching the defense yesterday was just, I mean, it was a men against boys. I mean, Mixon did whatever he wanted. Burrow did whatever he wanted. The receivers did whatever they wanted. The line pushed them all over the field. I was in New England in 13 when they gave up 55 points and 610 yards. This was almost just as bad for me.
Yeah, it seemed helpless out there. You know, that's how it appeared. Like, they had no answers, and they weren't going to stop them no matter what they did. Cincinnati got conservative toward the end because why not? They're trying to protect the lead. They're also trying to run the clock. They're not going to do anything crazy at that point. And it was 41-3, and we, you know, you still see Steelers starters out there, which I didn't understand. Did we talk about that? I can't remember.
We did. Okay. And we talked about how when Green Bay trailed New Orleans 38-3 in the opener with 11 minutes, and you have Aaron Rodgers left in the game, Guy Lafleur, our buddy, said, forget this, let's live to fight another day. Nobody raised an eyebrow.
Yeah, I found it strange, and I don't care what the logic is, it's the wrong logic. If you get a major injury to somebody on top of everything else, what's the point in a 41-3 game?
Point if the Steelers lose – let's say the next two games, what would be the point of playing Ben the rest of the season?
To me, there wouldn't be. To me, at some point, you have to find out what you have behind him on a consistent basis, not just a spot start here and there.
Ron?
No, I would say the same thing. I mean, unless you're trying to just, let him go out with his dignity, at the end of his career. But you don't have to do that. I think you could make some changes. And, again, we say it week to week. Every time he gets hit, there were a couple times yesterday where he got up slowly. I'm wondering, is this it? Is this it?
Oh, the time he hit his arm?
Yeah,
and he shook it on the side. I thought he was
that
done.
That was his elbow, right?
To take him out of the game.
I thought that was his Terry Bradshaw moment. I honestly did. It was horrible to watch. I thought that was it. And they need. Well, we can get into that next. But where do they go at that position next season? It can't be this again.
No, I think they have to be creative with it. But again, if you have the opportunity to assess Mason Rudolph on a 4-game. Okay, let's see what you do with the starters we have available to you, which may not be all that much, but we got to see what we have. Otherwise, what are you doing?
Fan Hotline, presented by Nemacolin, around every corner. Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. We'll get into what's cooking next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now, let's take a quick peek at the sports calendar to see what's cooking.
I got the full Molsey. Well, I didn't get the full Molsey. I got most of my hair shaved, including the top of my head. Molsey tells me I should finish it off. I think I will. I think I may head right from here to the barber, Bob.
You don't need a barber.
And get a full Molsey.
You could just get the blade out and do it at home.
I'm scared. You want to do it for me?
No, I don't want to do it. I kind of like it half and half so far.
What's cooking? Presented by your local Pittsburgh area Geico agent, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
And by Mr. Reuter.
Thank you, Mr. Reuter.
Call 412-REUTER-2. We don't have a lot of time left, like 2 minutes. I'm really starting to wonder, and I was very bullish on this, about the Najee Harris draft selection. It has nothing to do with him. I think he's very good. I see McCaffrey is now out for the year. I think of Saquon Barkley. I think of Todd Gurley. I think of J.K. Dobbins. I think of the shell of Zeke Elliott, the shell of Le'Veon Bell. These guys just don't last, Ron. And if you have them, you might as well run them like Joe Mixon. We're all worried about Najee's touches. Give him 45 touches a game if that's what it takes. While you have him healthy, run him. Use him. You know what I mean?
No, your point is well taken. I think the kid is really a great talent. I love his heart. I just love listening to him. I just think everything about him is solid. But with that offensive line and the lack of a deep passing game, there's just nowhere for him to go. That's why a lot of people will tell you never take a running back with the number one pick.
Well, I think they were trying to make a statement, at least I thought that we were going to commit to the run. We're going to do it this way. He's going to be the bell cow, which he has been here and there, but 8 carries yesterday, that's it. That's not a bell cow. That's a reserve. Why they put Benny Snell in, and tell me every time he's in there, he gets a carry and it goes for nothing.
How about Kalen Ballage yesterday, Bob? The numbers he put up?
Again, they're bringing in guys and they're drafting guys who are not developing as much as they should be, and that's another criticism of this coaching staff.
What do you think they could get in a trade if they sent Balazs and Archibong in a package. What comes back?
I like
what comes back.
Don't underestimate Archibong.
I love Archibong.
They like him.
We have to go. I'm sorry to cut you off there. You were an incredibly generous man to give me your headphones today. I was remiss. You forgot your phone at home. I forgot my phone at home. Ron, you forget anything
trying
today?
Trying to text my wife and I don't have it with me.
I just forget where I am when I got up this morning.
I've done that.
Ron, I'll see you in the morning.
All right, Ron.
Joe, I'm headed home. I'm
Safe travels on those roads.
I-70, I-71. I'm headed home.
Oh, that trip.
I'll see you guys and I'll talk to you tomorrow, Joe. Have a great night.
That trip from Cincinnati, Bob, is just brutal. It's just about an hour and a half too long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
California, I can tell you that.
The reappearance of Ron. Yeah, it's better than California. Ron, we love you, and we'll see you in the morning.
All right. I can't wait to see that bald dome of yours.
It's going to be very exciting for everybody.
Maybe balder tomorrow. Well, who knows? Joe has bad intentions.
Bob, how's your nutcracker?
I am using my nutcracker.
Yeah?
Yes.
Is it right out there on the living room table for everybody to see, and may they pick it up without permission? Just go ahead
and my wife's in charge of that.
Utilize the nutcracker?
Whatever nut you want to bring over, we'll crack it for you.
So if I bring over a bag of nuts, I can crack them on site?
You can crack them on site.
Here comes the money.
Money.
Here comes the money.
What's more rare these days, Bob? A nutcracker or an envelope opener? Remember those little, you know, the little, almost like a butter knife?
I would say a nutcracker. Most people don't use nutcrackers.
Yeah.
They just, you know, a lot of people use teeth. I've seen guys do that. I mean, you're going to ruin your teeth like that.
Break their nuts with their teeth.
I don't know anyone, though, who uses an envelope opener. Do you? I don't.
No, I thought it was largely symbolic, but I would have said the same thing with a nutcracker.
Does it indicate maybe a lack of confidence that you have an envelope opener?
Possibly.
Nutcracker's more, you know, more
utilitarian,
thing.
Right?
Yeah, I'm going to crack some nuts.
Right. You're going to crack some nuts.
I'm going to crack them.
But it's also very delicate. To walk into somebody's house and see an actual nutcracker lying on the table, you almost feel compelled to use it, right?
Yeah. Well, I feel like I have a ball buster every time I come in here, so it's a difference.
So if I sat down at your house, which is highly doubtful, I would see...
I've given you golf clubs. I've given you my...
Headphones, you did.
You could come over anytime
you
want.
If I saw a bowl of fully shelled walnuts, Bob?
They don't let my car in Pompeiani's neighborhood. They just don't.
I don't know. You got a new track.
Wait, is that Ron live or is that the head of Ron making an appearance?
I'm still here. You didn't sign me off officially.
Do you have a nutcracker, Ron, in the house?
I told you my mother had them. She used to eat chestnuts. I don't think I took it when she passed, though.
Thank you, Ron.
Joe, I'll try again. See you tomorrow.
Good night. Good night, Bob.
Good night, Joe. Good night,
Ron. I love you.
Talk to you. Thanks.
You're supposed to say I love you back.
I love you back.
No, just I love you.
Back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.